In our first lesson, we saw where Peter included baptism as a part of his apostolic preaching. In Acts 2, verses 36 through 38, he commanded the people at Pentecost to be baptized. In Acts 10, verses 47 and 48, we see where he commanded the household of Cornelius to be baptized. So from the first accounts in Acts, we saw that for Peter, baptism was, one, for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38, and two, that it was an act that involved water, Acts 10 and verse 47. But we might properly ask, was Peter teaching that baptism was for the forgiveness of sins and therefore necessary for salvation? Or was he teaching that one is saved by baptism in water? Fortunately, we don't have to wonder. In his first letter, Peter wrote, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. As the King James would state, baptism doth also now save us. But while teaching that baptism saves us, Peter is careful to explain in what way. So let's take a closer look at the text to see what Peter is saying about baptism. He says that baptism is an antitype. What is that? It comes from a Greek word that means a thing formed after some pattern, that which corresponds to a type. So you have two things that somehow relate or correspond to each other. One is a type, the other an antitype. So how is baptism an antitype? Well, in the text, Peter alludes to the waters of the flood. They are the type, and the waters of baptism are the antitype. 1 Peter 3, verses 20 and 21. Albert Barnes, in his commentary on this passage, says, "The meaning here is that baptism corresponded to, or had a resemblance to, the water by which Noah was saved, or that there was a use of water in the one case which corresponded in some respects to the water that was used in the other, to wit, in effecting salvation." That was his commentary on 1 Peter. He goes on to say that the apostle does not say that it corresponded in all respects. In respect, for example, to quantity, or to the manner of application, or to the efficacy, but there is a sense in which water performs an important part in our salvation, and it did in this. So, Peter was comparing Noah's salvation with our own. We remember that Noah was saved by grace, Genesis 6 and verse 8. And Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says that it was by faith. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 20, Peter says that it was by water. Grace was God's part that was Noah's part. Grace was God's part and faith was Noah's part. Water was simply an element by which God carried out his plan to save Noah. So today we are saved by grace, Ephesians 2 and verse 5. We're saved by faith, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. And we're saved by water, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Grace is God's part, faith is our part, and baptism is simply an element by which God carries out his plan to save us through the blood of Christ. Now, because baptism in water is somehow related to our salvation, Peter could speak of it as an antitype that saves us, just as Noah and his family were saved through water. Well, how can this be? Aren't we saved by the blood of Jesus? Well, of course. The answer can be seen as we continue to note what Peter taught about baptism. He says, secondly, that baptism saves through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation in baptism is not found in the water. As Peter clearly makes this statement, this clear for us when he says it's not the removal of the filth of the flesh. Indeed, it's only through the blood of Christ that one can be saved. Romans 5 and verse 9, Paul teaches that we are justified through his blood. And he teaches in Ephesians 1 and verse 7 that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And Peter tells us that he totally agrees with those concepts, Romans 5 and verse 9 and Ephesians 1 and verse 7 in 1 Peter 1 verses 18 and 19. But he says that salvation in baptism is possible because of the resurrection of Christ. If Jesus had not been raised, we would still be in our sins. Paul declared that in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17. So without his resurrection, his death would have been meaningless. But because Jesus was raised from the dead, those baptized into his death can rise to walk in newness of life. It's what Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 4. So those united together in his likeness of, in the likeness of his death, in other words, baptism, can share in the power of his resurrection, Romans 6 and verse 5. In other words, the same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is what saves us in baptism so we can be made alive, Colossians 2 verses 12 and 13. Now, by God's saving grace and resurrecting power, then baptism can indeed save us, not because of any cleansing power in the water, but because of what God is doing at that moment through the blood of Jesus Christ and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, Titus 3, verses 4 and 5. But let's finally notice what Peter teaches that baptism saves because it is an appeal for a good conscience. The New King James Version says the answer of a good conscience. A difficult phrase, but it likely means an appeal to God for a clear conscience. And this is supported by the following translations. We notice Goodspeed. He says the craving for a conscience that's right with God. Moffat says that it means the prayer for a clean conscience before God. Rotherman says that it means this, the request unto God for a good conscience. The Revised Standard Bible says that it's an appeal to God for a clear conscience. And the New American Standard Version says that it is an appeal to God for a good conscience. So, one is baptized because they desire a clear conscience. In other words, to have their sins forgiven. And this coincides with the evident purpose of baptism. In the apostolic preaching, the baptized were commanded to do so for the remission of their sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. And Acts 22 and verse 16, it was to have one's sins washed away. In New Testament times, people who realized they were sinners were anxious to be baptized as soon as possible. Look at the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? So, one is baptized, one, to have a good conscience before God. Really, to have their conscience purged by the blood of Christ, Hebrews 9 and verse 14. And to have their sins washed away by the blood of Jesus so they can rise to a new life through the same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. So, let's ask the question, does baptism save us? Well, a lot of people that listen to this program are going to say, no, baptism does not save us. And yet the Bible, Peter, an inspired writer, clearly taught that baptism doth now save us, according to the King James Version. And then another question, how does baptism save us? Well, according to Peter, it's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is an appeal for a good conscience. So this helps us to understand why he commanded it for the remission of sins in Acts 2 and verse 38. Why he commanded it even for those who had in some sense received the Spirit, Acts 10 with the household of Cornelius. So yes, through the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, working in conjunction with our faith in the blood of Jesus, baptism does indeed, it really does, save those who are making an appeal for a clear conscience. Is baptism essential for salvation? Well, don't believe me, but let the preaching and teaching of Jesus' apostles provide the answer. I believe that when we do, we can see why one should take Jesus at his own words with no questions or comments or doubts. In Mark's account of the Great Commission, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Now, like I say, you don't have to be an English scholar to figure that out. But he goes on in that and says, "But he who does not believe will be condemned." So if you don't believe what Jesus said about baptism, then Jesus says you're condemned. It's my prayer that if you have not yet properly responded to the word of the Lord, you will take heed to the words given by Paul, or given rather to Paul when he recounted his own conversion in Acts 22 and verse 16. Ananias came to him as Paul was praying and fasting after having seen Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Ananias asked him, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22 and verse 16. You know, it's interesting. A lot of my denominational friends that I have had conversations with, and some of you may be listening to this, you take what Ananias said there, and all you want to do is that last statement, call on the name of the Lord, and you claim that you're saved. But there's more to it than that. And unfortunately, so many in the religious world today want to take and pick and choose everything that they do as far as their service to God. And baptism is no different. "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Jesus said, "If you believe and are baptized, you will be saved." The religious world says, "Well, no, you're saved and then you're baptized after you believe." Why do we have to change up the word of Christ? Why is it that we can't take Jesus, the very Son of God, at his own words? Why is it that we want to leave out portions of the commanded scriptures? "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." I pray that you will make an appeal to God for a good conscience by being baptized into Jesus Christ. If we can assist you with that, you can join us this morning at the Eastside Church of Christ. We'll meet at 9 a.m. for Bible study, 10 a.m. for worship, and again this evening at 5 p.m. for another period of worship service. If you'd like to listen to this lesson again, you can go to the church's website. That's Church of Christ at Eastside, or Church at Eastside.com. Excuse me, I'll get it right in a moment. Or you can email me with questions that you may have at djcurtis1963. At hotmail.com, and you can also look me up on Facebook and send me messages there. I look forward to any comments or questions that you may have about baptism. I'm not preaching and teaching these lessons to upset anyone. Albeit there is the possibility that some will become upset from hearing God's word because it goes against the grain. It goes against the teaching of what some have heard from their parents and pastors and reverends and priests and things of that nature throughout generations and in their lifetime. But the simple truth of the matter is we follow God's word and God's word alone. We leave emotions out of it and just simply do what God says do. Thank you for being with me this morning.